to value you, to value your marriage, and to see that your families are blessed and maximized, that you become everything that God has called you to. Because anyone who's been in the ministry, anyone who wants to do something great for God, you can't do it fractured. You can't do it without unity. You go to another country and you find out just where all the cracks are. It's just how it happens. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You have the most precious pastor, but I'm going to say your pastor's wife is just such a precious woman. I love you. Amen. I'm glad you think so. I'm going to drive away tomorrow and think she's going to be well taken care of. That's a good thing. Thank you again. Thank you for letting us be here. Take what God has given you and cherish it and grow it and protect it and just challenge him to just push you and to pull you and to stretch you and watch what God does.
You'll see how a king treats his wife. Shall we start? You guys, now I'm standing between you and a good meal, so I know how that is. Well, like I said today to Pastor and Sister White, Cross White, that brevity is the soul of wit, Mark Twain said. So I'm going to be brief, well, brief as I can be, and still deliver what God has for us tonight. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. It's so good to be here. And I want to say also that I have some food restrictions, some things that I can't eat and all that. And they have been so gracious. Brother and Sister Crossway, you guys are awesome. And thank you for that. Praise God. Been very gracious. So can we jump into the Word tonight? Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And then you can turn in your New Testament to Matthew 6 and verse 25. I was going through this today, and it always works this way where I'm like, no, I don't want to say that, and I want to do this. And it's just never-changing thing with what God wants, I believe. If you saw my notes, you'd understand. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That word there, highway, means literally. It's literally a raised way. It's a higher way. And then Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment or clothes? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies. Can I say it again? Consider. Take thought. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. The world seeks these things, For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Meaning, another way of saying it, today's trouble is enough for today. Just stay in the day. Amen. Let's pray tonight for these few brief moments that I'm speaking, preaching, and teaching, and helping, ministering, that God would anoint our hearts tonight. There's not a wasted service, amen? You're here. Great, miraculous things can happen. Signs and wonders can happen tonight. Somebody filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody refilled tonight. Some new consecrations, new dedications tonight. You could have a new revelation tonight about just living for God that's radically changed from yesterday or even this morning. Praise God. And we pray that. Can we pray that tonight? And also pray for this preacher. Will you extend a hand this way too and pray for anointing? I need his anointing. The anointing is what breaks the yoke. We need it. Jesus, God, I pray that you would minister to our hearts tonight. God, touch every single person in this place, God. You know every cell, God. You know every heartbeat, Lord Jesus. You know what's needed. You know the minds that need to be touched tonight, Jesus. God, I pray that you would do the work, Lord. That you would open eyes tonight. That you would open ears tonight that they hear. And that you would make hearts tender, Lord, to the seat of your word that it makes entrance tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and touch my mind and my spirit, my tongue. God, let me be a useful vessel tonight, Jesus, to deliver your word with anointing and unction and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands one more time to the Lord? And you may be seated. The Lord says, consider the lilies. They don't toil. They don't spin. And think about what it takes to make a piece of clothing. You shear the sheep and you wash the wool. And then you brush the weeds out of the wool by carding it. And then you dye the wool. And then you spin it into threads. And you weave the cloth and cut it out. And then you sew that garment. And it's quite a process. It's quite a process. We don't think about that when we go to Walmart or to the local store to buy some clothing item, but there was quite a process in the day, and there really is quite a process to get it all to even the store for you to buy it. But if you're going to worry about having clothes to wear, you'd better plan ahead. At least then you'd have to plan ahead and buy a sheep. You needed a sheep, and you need to take care of that sheep. And but God says, not so. Don't worry about the clothes. Don't worry about the food or any lesser pursuit. Don't let the basis of decision making be any less than the kingdom of God. I want to title this, The Highest Possible Good. The Highest Possible Good. Praise God. But don't let that decision making be anything less than the kingdom of God. And the Bible lets us know that, and all these things shall be added unto you. The lily is being what it was made to be. That's why God says, consider the lily, how it's even more arrayed and beautiful than Solomon and all that he has, because it's fulfilling its purposely and perfectly. He is fulfilling that purpose, praise God. The lily is being its highest good. Its purpose is fulfilled. The Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And that's why we're to seek first the kingdom of God, because he's going to fulfill these needs. But the problem with us, and he reminds us in the word, is that we have a problem with seeking his kingdom first. And this is the most profound idea and the challenge I bring to you individually and corporately tonight as a church, is that if you can arrange your life so that what you're genuinely doing is to pursue the highest possible good, The things you need on a daily basis will come to you. They will be attracted to you. They will be added to you. Jordan Peterson said this, and I want to quote him perfectly here. If you configure your life so that what you're genuinely doing is aiming at the highest possible good, then the things you need to survive and to thrive on a day-to-day basis will deliver themselves to you. If you dare to do the most difficult thing that you can conceptualize, your life will work out better than if you do anything else. There's no better pathway to self-realization. The world looks at that, self-realization, and the ennoblement of being than to posit the highest possible good that you can conceive of and commit yourself to it. That's what keeps you afloat when everything is flooded. Don't wait till the flood comes. Praise God. Live every day that way and be ready. Don't let your ark be half built. You hear me? Don't let your ark be half built because you'll drown. You need to be pursuing the highest thing, the highest possible thing. And can I go ahead and add again? It is the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is highest on the list. It needs to be highest on your list and on my list. And I'm not taking a poll tonight on what is the highest good. Praise God. The other things are comparatively insignificant. Anything you mention that's not the highest possible good, and that being the kingdom, it's insignificant to what really this whole thing is all about. The Bible says to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Again, it's a raised way. It's a noble way. It's a better way. The Bible lets us know it's the ultimate way. It's the thing worth pursuing in your life. Is there any higher goal or attainment than the kingdom of God? Do you really have anything higher to chase? Then why not seek his kingdom first? Right. Praise God. You know, we found it was a poster board. Poster piece of sheet, you know, that was rolled up, that had names written on it from years ago. We were packing and we were putting everything together for us traveling. We've been living out of suitcases since January. So we had to pack things and put things away and put things in storage. But we found these lists, and they were poster lists. We actually took a copy. These were copies made of something that we put into the pillars of the church that I pastored, we pastored, and we put all these names, and they were all the people that had come to our church over the years. They were all the backsliders that had been represented, because on the nights that we prayed and the days that we prayed and we come together for corporate prayer, we would put up an easel, a whiteboard, and people would write names and that were close to them, and neighbors and people that had come through the church, and backsliders, whoever, families, they were put on this whiteboard, and those were transferred again to just scrolls, you know, lots of sheets of paper. And then all the family of those church members and all the friends and co-workers and neighbors over the years were placed on these papers, and they were put in the posts. But we were claiming them for the kingdom. We were praying for them who are living for God and who are not living for God. We were praying for them. All the people who have chosen to follow and chase something less than first the kingdom and the highest good. These names were so many of them that had come through the doors, and you know what I'm talking about. There's, I think your pastor mentioned there were 1,500 people that had come through the church in the last year. But they come, and then they're coming for something, and this is what they need to have found. This is where the treasure is. This is, if they would have just stuck, if they would have just stayed, they would have realized this answers all the complicated questions that they have. But instead, they went about and they continued to chase rainbows and butterflies and looking for the easy life and looking for things of fulfillment and seeking happiness and things that really don't last. They're very temporal. And always the happiness that they're searching for and the fulfillment that they're searching for is always just out of grasp. It's just beyond reach for these people. And we're trying to convince them or trying to tell them, listen, just come to another service. And I'm telling you, get it in your heart and this will change your life. This will radically change your direction and your purpose and your everything will change. Your family will change. Your life will change. Your everything will change. Remember the Gentiles. They toil and they spin. They're frantic about tomorrow, and they're concerned about security, and they're concerned about things, and they're worried about the future. They want and desire happiness, and they think it's in the new car smell, and it's in the bigger home, and it's in the better job, and the new spouse, because the world does that. Everything's disposable. But it's just out of reach. It's just out of reach. They're not even aiming at the right target, I would like to argue tonight. They're not even aiming at the right target. In 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, Greece, Matthew Emmons represented the United States in the 50-meter rifle, three-position shooting competition. Meaning they take 40 rounds kneeling, 40 rounds prone, laying down, and 40 rounds standing. And they're shooting at these targets and they're competing. Now, Matt Emmons, he dominated the event. He was at the final shot. His combined score was so high, the target to win the gold medal for him was not even the bullseye. All he had to hit was just generally the target. It was the easiest thing to do. And he took the shot. And when he lowered his rifle, he looked at the monitor. There was a monitor right by him to see in the distance how well he had hit. And he looked at the monitor to see where his bullet had struck. But there was no score. There was no score. Why? Matt was confused. He talked with the judges, and the lead judge explained that Emmons' score was a zero because of a cross shot. Cross shot. The crowd just gasped because they knew he was so close to the gold medal. But Emmons lowered his head. He couldn't believe what had happened. He aimed at and hit another shooter's target instead of his own. His zero score lost him the gold medal, and he fell out of medal contention completely. No silver, no bronze, nothing. You know, I want to say tonight, make sure you're going to hit the right target. Make sure in life you're shooting at the right target. If you're going to aim, you may as well aim at what's good. And if you're going to aim at what's good, you may as well aim at what's the best. And if you're going to aim at the best, then the Lord says all these things. If you're going to aim at the best and the highest possible good, the Bible lets us know that all these things will be added and people will be attracted to you and everything will work out in your life. You'll turn things right side up when they've been upside down for so long. You know, so many people are chasing a raise instead of the kingdom. So many are working an extra shift on Sunday instead of being in church where the kingdom of God is put first. So many are chasing a man, a relationship, when they ought to just know that God's going to take care of those things if they just put him first. We struggle with doing the right thing so often. We just get our priorities out of line. And I'm here tonight just to encourage somebody. Just again, it's a simple message. Just seek the highest good. The highest possible good is the kingdom of God. Amen. Why don't we stop and just lift our hands? Praise God. Come on, we got to hit the right target. Eternity depends on it. Our family depends on it. Jesus. We love you. We love you. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. God is so good. Some never even try to follow his kingdom. Some begin to follow him and then get distracted by something less. The people who aren't all in, hear me, the people who aren't all in, they struggle. They always struggle. And they're going against what God, what they were created for. They're going against their very own, how they were made. They were made to know him and to have relationship with him. They're going against their purpose. It's an hypothesis and not a simple one, that if you seek the highest thing, you dare to do the highest things you conceptualize, your life will work out better than if you do anything else. How do you try that hypothesis? No one can tell you. Their experience is not proof that it'll work for you. You have to go all in this pursuit for yourself. Because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a personal thing. That's something I have to experience. I can tell you, if you've never tasted a strawberry before, I can tell you, listen, just taste it. It tastes like a strawberry. How do you describe it? The only way you know that it tastes like a strawberry is if, and if I say it that way, you know because you've tasted a strawberry. You've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. In the beginning of this journey, we seek and pursue the kingdom of God. It's in its simplest meaning, just walking toward Jesus. Walking toward Jesus. You don't yet see the depth of the constellation of stars in the universe of the kingdom, but you follow the star that you can see, praise God. Then the dimmer stars that are farther out there become a little more visible, but you follow that star, praise God. First pursue the love of God. You know, we love him because he first loved us. Some struggle with even understanding love, but you know what? He's never going to fail you. He's never going to reject you. He's going to be perfect in his, you just got to receive him, praise God. Because his love is there. Then you get bumped. You know what bumped is? Offense comes. Because the Bible says offenses will come. He's letting us know they sweep through the church. Offenses come. Pastor didn't shake my hand. Brother so-and-so, they're probably talking about me. You know, things didn't go well. Maybe a business deal. Be careful of business dealings in the church. Always pay your bills. Always take care of your promise. But you have to learn how to respond. There's something in us that wants to stay angry and build resentments and bitterness and all of that. But if you're seeking his kingdom and you're just faithful, the star of truth comes into view again. The star of truth just comes into view. And it's, I can see this dark thing in my heart that is not love. I can see it. There's the only way we're going to know it. Pastor, the only way we're going to know there's something in us that's not right is being in this kind of presence and where the Holy Ghost is present and he shines the light and there's that dark place, that little web in there somewhere, that little something that God shines a light on and we see that we need to make this little change. He's always so merciful with us that way. Am I going to leave the path and pursue bitterness? And am I going to leave the path and pursue anger? Or do I have to realign with the highest possible good? Jesus was beaten and betrayed. He forgave his murderers. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Will you follow his example, the purest and the highest way? Or will you choose to get off the path of pursuing him and pursue your own justice instead? Truth will tell you to repent and get right with your neighbor. Truth will do that. Praise God. And thereby we realign ourselves with your brother. You realign with your sister. And in doing so, the kingdom of God. All these things are going to work themselves out if You are pursuing the kingdom of God, the highest possible good you could ever pursue in your life. It's a radical commitment. It really is. Some may sit in the pew and the chairs of the church for many years before they get the revelation of just sold out, all in commitment. But when you finally make up your mind, it's that radical change becomes something so beautiful. It's like the light just opens up in a dark place, and it just opens up and you realize this is the answer I've been looking for all of my life. Lilies. They don't figure out how to succeed. They don't figure out how to advance or attain more stuff. For their heavenly Father knows what they have need of. And your heavenly Father, He knows what you have need of. You're more valuable, more precious than a lily. And yet He brags about it as something greater than Solomon. It's simple, isn't it? It's just not easy again. It's a simple thing, but just not easy. So how? What does this look like in a practical way? It isn't necessarily big and flashy. It's the sum of all the little decisions that you make. And I'm going to go to the house of God today. I'm going to go to prayer meeting. I'm going to go knock on doors with Sister Missionary. And we're gonna do some eternal things. We're gonna build. We're gonna give into the kingdom. We're gonna take care of the responsibility at home with the family. We're gonna treat my wife and or my husband, whatever, with kindness. Right? If you're a lady out there, you want to do things right. When you live for God, this I hope you get this right here. When you live for God, everything is significant. Your time, the minutes that you spend in doing whatever you're doing, they are significant. You're a child of God. You're an heir to something so wonderful, so great. Eye hasn't beholden the depths and the breadths of the love of God and the kingdom of God that's available to us, what heaven is going to be to us. When you live for God, everything is significant. Everything has meaning and importance. It means making the noblest, the most noble aim in all that you do. It means that you're honest in all your transactions and interactions. You're Christian. You have integrity. You know where integrity, the word, comes from? It's the opposite of disintegration, disintegrate. Integrate means it comes together. Disintegrate, it falls apart. It spins apart. It means that you become whole. You become complete in Him. And are we complete in Him? Integrity is just honesty, and you tell the truth because He's truth. There's no lie in Him. And we're just imitating our Master, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you pay attention to what you align to and then follow it every day, that's a powerful thing. You concentrate on the day and aim for the day. And in that aim, it's the highest possible good you could aim for, seeking His kingdom. The world revolves itself around someone with that kind of aim. It's attractive. You find somebody that really gets this revelation, people want to be around them. They become gravity that just, the world revolves around that. Your coworkers and people at work and people, wherever they are, they're gonna see just by your very presence, there's something different about that individual because of your aim, because of your noble purpose, because you're seeking the highest possible good. In fact, we're aiming creatures. Looking at a point and moving toward it. We're aiming people. We were created that way. In Matthew 13, verses 10 through 13, and the disciples came and said unto Him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them is not given, For whosoever has or hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Doesn't sound like fair, but it sounds like God and a just God. But it sounds like somebody that understands when you're seeking the highest possible good, when you're seeking the kingdom of God, God reveals to us and you the mysteries of the kingdom. And now you become beneficiary of all the things that can be added because he can trust you. He knows that you're a good steward and money comes your way and good things come your way and health comes your way. All these things start being attractive to you because you're now a vessel that grows in capacity because you're pouring out into others the same things. Praise God. The one that has, and the one that has more abundant, again, is the one who seeks first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, we all ought to raise our hands. Can we raise our hands and ask this of God? God, we're seeking you tonight. And God, we want to attract everything that you want to just pour out in our lives, in my life, God. I want to be a good steward in everything, and I want to be that person that you just give more abundantly to because I'm responsible with what you've given me, God. And I'm seeking you with my whole heart, God. We have to have an aim. Hear me. We have to have this purpose, this aim. That need is built in. It was built into each one of us. It's in our DNA. God created you and I in the image of him. That's why you know Luke 17:21, it says the kingdom of God is within you. There's something about the revelation that we can have receiving the Holy Ghost and then walking in that the kingdom, we walk around as a representative of his tabernacle. The kingdom of God is there and present when somebody's around us because, man, the power and the anointing is there. And I want that. Do you all want that? I want that. I want everything God has for me. And I'm coveting. If there was ever a time that you could covet and be okay, you can covet the kingdom of God. You can covet the things of God and it'd be all right. You want everything. God, just give me it. Just pour it on me. I want it all, God. If we aim at the highest possible mark, the kingdom of God, it organizes everything else around us. It sets up all our perceptions. How we perceive the world, how we view things changes. What we see and what we don't see, how we feel, the emotions that we have and our motivations, everything changes. It's so significant. The day manifests itself as a series of situations and problems. And if you solve them according to your noblest aim, the highest possible good, you move toward it. And you can point into the distance and live in the day. The day becomes supercharged with meaning. And that is the reason that can sustain life and you in life. That supercharged meaning. When all craziness and chaos breaks loose in your life, you may want to be doing something that is truly worthwhile. And can I tell you simply, it's pursuing the kingdom of God. I got to have you, Jesus. I got to walk in this, Jesus. I got to be walking filled with the Holy Ghost. God, help me to be sensitive so I can witness to somebody with boldness and power like the apostles did. God, help me to do everything I can in your will. I want to walk in your will, Jesus. Aiming at the highest good is what keeps you afloat. Again, like Noah, you don't want to wait till it flood. The floods come. And you want to make sure your ark is fully built. Praise God. I want to build things. I want God to build it in my life. My pastor calls it launching out into the deep. Wrote a book about that. And in Psalm 107:23, it says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Do y'all want that tonight? I want to see his wonders. I don't want to just walk in mediocrity, and I don't want to have a mundane life as a Christian. I want everything God can give me, and I want to be responsible with it. But you know what? It's not being anchored in safe harbor. It's out in the deep. It's scary out there in the deep sometimes. But you know, that's what we're built for. Listen, we thrive far more around aim than attainment. Once you attain it, it's just the thrill's gone. We ought to live our life. Every day it's exciting. You can wake up excited every day about pursuing the kingdom because it's not yet attained. I'm not yet there yet, but I'm pursuing it. I'm wanting it. I'm wanting the best things from God. I'm wanting the things that he wants to give. I want to be there for him. And I don't want it just to be out of grasp. I want to touch it even sometimes. And so it makes me just want to keep pursuing. Thank you, Jesus. But the nobler the aim, the better the life. Shallow, trivial pleasures, they just don't sustain us. They grow old so quickly. We grow so bored of them. They're like trinkets. In the moment of choice, do the harder thing, the right thing. Be right-wise. You know, that's where they come up with the word righteous, is being right-wise. Being right about your aim and your purpose. Church over job. Tithe over robbing God. Just loving people as opposed to being insecure. And you know, God will take care of insecurities, by the way. He'll heal you. Just stay in the, man, just wrap yourself around the things of God. And this is a family. Look at this. This is wonderful. If I was going to leave you with one thing, my time is limited. We leave tomorrow morning. Just one thing. And it's so simple. Pursue the kingdom of God. Pursue with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Measure and weigh every decision, every action, every word, every way against that one thing. Is this about kingdom first? And look at the promise attached to it. And all these things shall be added. Can we stand and musician come? I tried to be as brief as I could, knowing things were going on tonight. But maybe this is your moment. I'm speaking to somebody individually. This is your moment to really make a commitment and dedication to the things of God. You know, you could receive the Holy Ghost tonight. God could fill you tonight. And if you need the Holy Ghost and you've pursued it all, I want to pray with you. I prayed a lot of people through the Holy Ghost, and I love to see people being filled with the presence of God, because like I said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God can be within you. That's where it starts. And then you just have a kindred spirit with the kingdom. You want to just pursue what you've been filled with. You want more of it. You want more of him. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just lift our hands where we are right now? And it starts with opening our mouth. You know, the Bible says that even the stones would cry out, the rocks would cry out if we didn't lift our voices and cry, Abba, Father. You know, when we cry out, we cry, Daddy, Daddy. God, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. That's right. Let's come tonight just for a little bit and just, God, if there's anything in me, if there's any dark place in me, if there's any, God, shine the light of your goodness in my heart, and if there be anything there, God, I want to just take it out. I want to repent of it. God, help me to be clean before you, Jesus. If you haven't repented of your sins, it's such a simple thing of turning away, saying, God, I don't want to say those things anymore. I've cursed you. I've stolen things. I've committed adultery in my heart. I've done all kinds of ungodly things, and God, I want you to forgive me of those things. God, please forgive me of those things. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh to repentance, and you may be sorry and have been sorry in the past, but really repentance says, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm going to turn away from those things and live for you with all of my heart. Jesus. Can we pray tonight until the Spirit of God begins to speak through you? The Holy Ghost speaks to those things that we know not of, begins to intercede on your behalf and prays for you. When we don't know what to say in our own language, in our own words, let God speak. He's perfect in his ability to know what you need and when you need it. Let it come out in that heavenly language, and that beautiful language of the tongues that God gives, that prayer language. Praise God. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
You rescued me,
yes,
from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul. You rescued me.
you just yield to the Lord with us. Let's just keep yielding. Well, that's the first step, is to yield. Yield to the Lord. Go ahead, the Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of God is here, yes.